Would you just welcome Pastor Kevin and Jeannie with me this morning? Welcome. Thank you. So Kevin, I said, hey, you know, do you want to, however you want to preach today is your call, but we're preaching through the Bible, so if you want to take on the book of Zephaniah, that's where we're at. And he took the challenge, right? How'd you like to be asked to speak on Zephaniah, right? So Kevin, it's so great to have you, bro. Good.
All right, thanks. Can I grab? Yes. I'll stay down here. Really great to be here with you today. And my wife, Jeannie, and I just always appreciate coming. And last time, as he mentioned, we were with you. Then since that time, Adam and Gloria have taken the church, and they're doing a great job as the new lead pastors. Jeannie and I are enjoying life as always, and thankful for God's provision, God's work. We do appreciate being with you and Jess and Lynn and the church here. It's always a joy to come over because you have air conditioning. So that helps. But no, over the years, we've made some good friends, including Jess and Lynn and their other children and the families here and things, so we're grateful for that. We are going to talk about Zephaniah today, so if you want to open your Bibles. But before we go to Zephaniah, let's go to Luke chapter 21, and we'll read just a couple verses out of that for our intro appetizer. In Luke 21, in verse 8, this is Jesus speaking. His teachers have asked him, what's happening in the last days? What he told them, he's coming back. And they asked him, okay, when's that going to be? What do we look for? What's going to happen? And so Jesus launches into this discussion here, and it's paralleled in Matthew 24 and also in Mark. And he gives answers to it. They ask several different questions, and so the answers are mixed together. I won't take time to separate it out today. But verse 8, take heed, watch out that you're not tricked or deceived. And when you talk about end time things and what, I mean, the scriptures are very clear. The first thing Jesus said is watch out that somebody doesn't pull the wool over your eyes. Watch out that you just don't buy into everything. Watch out that you don't get deceived. Be careful, because there's going to be a lot of different ideas. Many will come in my name saying, I'm he. There's going to be a lot of different that claim to be anointed or Christ in that way. The time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions and summer conventions with long speeches and raucous behavior and people pulling one-ups on everybody, he says, look out! It's been a kind of a tumultuous summer. You all, I don't know if you've been following the two conventions and everything that's going on, but there's a lot of stuff going on in our world, in our nation. But he says, when you hear of all these things, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And then he talks about nation against nation and the different parts. One of the things that I think Zephaniah wants us to know, and Jesus wants us to know, is that we need more faith than fear in the days that we live. We need more of faith, and what that means, than being fearful or anxious about events. He says, don't be terrified. You know, the devil is a terrorist. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to fear. He wants you to be anxious. He wants to take your life and squeeze you into a anxious, you know, towel and just wringing you and make you afraid of everything around you. And God has called us not to be afraid. In verse 11, there'll be great earthquakes, various places, famines, pestilence, there'll be fearful sights and great signs in heaven. Go down to verse 19, by your patience possess your souls. What's he saying? He's saying in the midst of times of trouble, maintain your self-control. Maintain your own perspective. In your patience, patiently waiting for the return of the Lord, possess your own self. And then go down to verse 28. It's 25. 25. There'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. He said people are going to have, whether it's spiritual or literal or both, heart attacks. They're going to be just churning and upset and fearful about lots of things. But what's her counsel to us? Verse 28, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. It is important to realize Jesus is going to return. And we are to keep our focus on what he is doing in and through our lives and what his word is and be full of faith and anticipate and get ready for the coming of the Lord. That's the important part. Is he coming in our lifetime? Well, you can read all the books on it and see what you, what people think. But I think there's some significant things going on in our world that could indicate that. Let's go back to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is in the Minor Prophets, and he's the last of the Minor Prophets before what we call the Restoration Prophets, the last three in the Old Testament that came after the captivity. So he's the last in order. And so we've got Zephaniah, you can go to the next slide. And he is, his theme is the day of the Lord, and God will judge Judah and the other nations. And we're going to go through the day of the Lord. Now, it is a theme in Isaiah, here in Zephaniah, that he talks about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a prophetic term they use to say the day when God will answer and judge and redeem. God will do everything he's promised to do. It will come on that day. And the day can be an actual literal day, like the day that Jesus comes. It also can be the season or the day up, leading up to the day of the Lord. Now, we know in Revelation, John says in chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Revelation was written in Greek, but John is processing Revelation in a Hebrew thought pattern. And so the only way to say the day of the Lord in Greek is to say the Lord's day. So he wasn't in the Spirit on a Sunday, as we would call the Lord's Day in our culture. He was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. And he receives all his revelation, the prophetic insight that he gets from Jesus and the angels and so forth, on the day of the Lord. So he's talking about the last days in the book of Revelation. Now, Zephaniah talks about the last days because it is the days of the last days of Judah, the southern kingdom. And so his theme is that he's going to judge the southern nation of Judah and other nations. And you can look through the historical. Let's go to the next slide. It was written by Zephaniah, who prophesied in this era. Next, here's general geography of Jerusalem there. It's against him. The southern kingdom was clustered around the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to prophesy not only against Jerusalem and Judah, but he's going to talk about nations on the north, which he talks about Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. And Nineveh was lost for thousands of years. It's only been in the last number of decades they found it, and there's a big mound, and they began to uncover it. And ISIS has gone in and tried to desecrate some of the things they've found. But up in Assyria, that's northern Iraq, parts of the area up in there, and other nations, and then Syria is directly above. Ammon and Moab are where Jordan is, and then Iraq, and then it would go on to Iran. So he prophesies against the north, the south, the east, and the west. The west would be Philistia, which would be Gaza Strip and the coast. These nations still, and he talks about Africa, which he calls Ethiopia, which would be to the south, which would include Egypt and other nations. I'm not going to take time to read all the scriptures, but he does a pretty good job outlining the neighboring nations around Israel and who would be judged as an enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but when you think of Zephaniah, I took time this week to look up the top 10 baby boy names, and I did not find Zephaniah among them. In fact, I found several lists, and I looked at just three, but the top 10 baby names, those three lists don't agree. It's kind of like reading all the books on end time prophecy. You know, they have all these things that are going to happen, supposed to happen, might happen, and they don't all agree. But for me, it wasn't about the top 10 boy names. It's about the top 10 names or more in my life. And Levi and Melody and Kyle and Elena and Joshua and Caleb and Joel and Adesha and Ethan, important to me. and Zeb and Justin and Lynn, because we're related to mom and his dad. It's about those names that are important, Grandpa. And Zephaniah was important to his mom and his dad and his grandpa and his great-grandpa and his great-great-grandpa, who was Hezekiah the king. And he tells us at the beginning of the book that he's of royal descent, that he's the fourth generation since Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was, for the most part, a good king. And Zephaniah tells us he reigns during the next, let's go to the next slide, he reigns during the time of Josiah. Josiah is the last good king in Judah before the destruction comes. And so Josiah was 8 years old and became king. And as he grew and they found the book of the law in the temple through his teen years and so forth, they had a revival. And he did a lot of things that Zephaniah says that would happen. They get rid of the prophets of Baal. They get rid of this and that. They go through all these things. And it's a great revival. In Zephaniah's contemporary of Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, some of these other ones that you'll study. But it's the winding down of the kingdom of Judah, and the great revival did not stop the judgment from all the other kings and the things that were going on and the personal sins that happened. And so let's go to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 2. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I'll consume the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, the stumbling blocks along the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I'm going to stretch out my hand against Judah and the inhabitants. And he goes to go on. Verse 7, be silent in the presence of the Lord, for in the day of the Lord is at hand. And he goes on and says, I prepare a sacrifice, which parallels in Revelation the supper of the great God when God calls together the final nations for the final judgment. And so you can do a good study, good commentaries between Zephaniah and to Revelation. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the Lord is bitter. He talks about the day of wrath, the day of trouble, the day. Now, you and I know that if I say I'm going to meet you in 3 days, that when I say 3 days, I'm actually talking about 3 days, meaning daytime and nighttime. And when we talk about the day of the Lord, the important thing to remember is that, and everybody says, well, it's gloom and doom and there's trouble and there's World War III and there's all this stuff going on. That's true, but the same day is a glorious day also. It's not just a day of trouble. It's a day of light and bright and the presence of the Lord coming upon his people in good ways. So when we have the day of the Lord, we have two sides of it. We have the dark and the light, the day and the night. And he's describing what the night will look like for the wicked and those that don't know the Lord, but he's also going to describe what it looks like for us that know the Lord and the great things that are going to happen. And so we need to keep this in balance. You might say, I wish I wasn't born in the last days. All this stuff's going to happen. I might die. Well, we might, but it's also a day of brightness and glory and anticipation and revival in the earth. There are more people being saved today than ever before. It's probably happening more in Africa and Asia and some of the other countries than U.S., but this is a day of brightness as well as a day of darkness. And we need to keep our hearts and our eyes full of faith, not just fright or fear. And you can study a lot of the things that this have, but let's go to the next slide. Some of the key things, this three chapter or three segments in these three chapters, they're judging against Judah, against the nations. And then he talks to us about the future of Jerusalem. And in this three chapters, there are two sections that deal with the darkness, and there's two sections in alternating that deal with light or brightness. And we'll look at a few of those, of the things that if we follow the Lord. So next slide. He goes into some of the things that we need to be concerned about. Go ahead and do the next slide, Kip. Here are seven major sins that he is going to pronounce judgment. Now, I will tell you, and you can think about what you think, but I don't think our problem today is with race wars. I don't think our problem today is class wars. I don't think it's about wealth and poverty, the 1% versus the rest. I don't think problems today are based on status or religion or gender. I think they're based on evil sin nature in people's hearts. No matter who people are, everybody has that prone to selfish and to be evil and to allow that to overrun our lives if it's not kept in check by the Lord in various ways, primarily through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so when we think about what are the problems of our nation, Zephaniah was one of the last prophets to prophesy before they went to the end. I think today these same sins, these same attitudes, the same problems are in our nation today. Anybody think there's idolatry? Just turn on your TV for a while and watch it. It's not just American Idol. It's idols all over the world in that. Greed, indifference. In 1:12 it says, woe to those, or judgment upon those that say, the Lord's not going to do anything good. He's not going to do anything evil. He's just, I don't know what he's going to do. And our God will do good. Our God will do good if we trust in him and follow his ways and be in the center of his will. Pagan customs, they were wearing pagan clothing. Some of you are old enough to remember the Beatles when they went to India. They came back wearing Indian clothes and their gurus and all that. It's rampant that we're adopting pagan customs more and more in our country in lots of ways. Rebellion, lawlessness, violence, injustice, godlessness. And you can go through and study that on your own. Next slide. So God says, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to consume. And the word consume means I'm going to take away. What one of the things God does when he begins to judge you, people, families, nations, is begins to remove things. He begins to take things away. And he begins to take away economic prosperity. He begins to take away other things. He begins to take away, and he's going to explain that. One of the things he does is he takes away peace. He takes away a civility, a cooperation. He pulls that away, and there's people are left to their own devices, their evil nature, and they don't get along. And he takes away that, causes pain and grief, poverty. And you can read that in the scriptures there. And what happens to mankind? Man becomes blind. And you and I watch the news, and we hear these speeches, and we hear what's going on. We say, don't they see what's going on? No, they don't see. People are blinded by their own sin. They're blinded because they will not follow the Lord. Blindness comes when we will not listen to the voice of the Lord or we're under his judgment. So people are blind today. Part of our job is to be the light, to be what God wants us to help people come out of that. He talks about in 1:17 about blood or death. Lots of news stories, and especially in the last month, about attacks and terrorists and all those things. The devil wants to use that to grip our hearts again with fear. I refuse to be afraid. I mean, I do once in a while. But I choose to come back to faith and say, my God is with me. He will not leave me or forsake me. My God will do good in my life. Buying power is lost. You can talk about inflation or other things. It says money won't buy escape. People with their silver and gold, they can't get out of tough situations. The blight on mankind. And finally, it says the fire of God will be burning and accomplishing things in lives. Go to the next slide. Let's go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. Here's the first bright spot in this book. It says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together. Undesirable nation. He says, you guys have sinned. You've missed out on my will. But come. And he says, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes on you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who has upheld his justice. Seek righteousness and seek humility, that it may be that you'll be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, here is an admonition. We are to seek the Lord before it gets too tough. Before the full day of trouble comes upon us, it is our job. You can call it intercession, you can call it prayer, you can call it personal walk, you can call it a lot of things, but our job is to seek the Lord and to be in his presence more and more and more. That's our job. Don't wait until it hits our doorstep and we say, oh, what's going on? Let's start now, today, and have time, as we've done in worship, we've done other things. Let's purpose to be hidden from his anger. Now, here is a key of the book. The word Zephaniah, his name, or remember that long name? I don't know what you would call him if you're going to abbreviate it. Would you call him Zephy or Zeph or Z, time for dinner? But his name means connected by the Lord. And here, by prophetic ministry, is prophetic death to his actual name that was given him by his parents. And so God has a prophetic destiny on every one of us. And it's connected to our nature. Our name represents our nature. God loves you. He knows you all by name. And he has a purpose and a calling, a destiny for every one of us to fulfill. And here, Zephaniah is called, and he has to put out the bad stuff, but he also gets to proclaim the good stuff and saying, come to the Lord. Come to him. Seek the Lord now while there's time before all this happens, because you will be hidden in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever played hide and seek. Our kids, grandkids like to play it. And the problem with Joel is that wherever he hides, he giggles. And so he's easy to find. He's not talking about hide and seek. He's talking about seeking and then being hidden. If we seek the Lord, we'll be hidden by his presence. Now, sometimes people say, okay, hide out. I'm going to dig a big hole in the ground, call it a shelter. I'm going to get armament. I'm going to hide behind this. I'm going to hide behind that. And my counsel is be wise in what the Lord guides you to do. But nothing will save us except the presence of the Lord. I don't care how much you prepare, spiritual preparation is the most important thing to do. We have an election coming up. Let me say this very clearly. Your prayers are more important than your votes. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm saying our prayers are more important than our votes. Spiritual preparation always is higher priority than any natural preparation, because we hear the Lord and then we follow and act accordingly. So as we think about being hidden from the Lord, we're hidden in the Lord, it's a key. We're going to skip ahead to a couple things. You can read some more on your own. Let's go to the last slide and then we'll go into what I want to finalize with. In chapter 3, starting in verse 9, here's the second bright spot. And to summarize, he says, there'll be a regathering. I think God wants to bring the church together more and more and more in an effective and miraculous way. And I think more and more he wants the individual segments of the church to come together in unity more and more and more, and so that we are a united voice for the Lord. He's also going to do some refining. He's going to purge out, take out, and chapter 3:9, it says, I'll give you a pure language. He's going to take out stuff. He's going to take out evil out of our midst. He's going to refine us, call it pruning, whatever you want to call it. He's also going to put a spirit of rejoicing on us. It says, shout, O daughter of Zion, sing. And he talks about worship. Here at the end of Zephaniah, he says, if you want to seek the Lord, be engaged in true worship. Learn to worship the Lord. And then he talks about finally restoration, that he's going to bring back those that are captive. God wants to release people from addictions, from habits, from bondages. God wants to bring a greater release among his people. And many of you that have friends or loved ones that are trapped in snares of this world, God wants to see them set free. That's part of the work of the church and something that God wants us to do. Last thing I want to cover, and this is just kind of a something I think could be a help to us all in our walk with the Lord. You remember a number of years ago, some of you have read the book or seen the movie, The Hiding Place. Story of a family that in World War II, that they hid Jewish people. They built a compartment in their home and hid Jewish people so that they wouldn't be arrested and taken away to concentration camps. Corrie ten Boom was the author of the book. And it was ten Boom family that did that. Well, eventually, they were arrested. Their house was searched, but they didn't find the hiding place. And they were taken off to a concentration camp, the two sisters. And Corrie's sister died there. Corrie was released by a typo. You know, her number came up, and it was a typo, but she was released and lived to tell about her experiences in her book. Very interesting and compelling story, if you would take time to read it. But I want to talk about our hiding place. Sometimes you think, well, I'm not going to hide. I'm not scared. I'm not talking about hiding because you're scared. I'm talking about having the protection of the Lord upon our lives in every way, about hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus said to Jerusalem, how much I wanted to pull you under my wings and protect you, but you wouldn't. God wants to pull us into his presence for protection. And that was why he's called a hiding place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe. So when I talk about hiding, I'm not talking a fearful thing. I'm talking about a faith grabbing hold. In those days when the cities had walls around them, and when the enemy would come, people that lived outside the walls would gather or run into the city, and there they'd be protected where they held off the enemy. I'm talking about protection from the Lord, the walls of strength that he has for us. And when we think about, how do I hide myself in him? Now, we know there's a wrong kind of hiding. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the Lord after they sinned. And why? Because they were afraid. And when you're fearful, the temptation will be, the tendency will be to pull away from the Lord like Adam and Eve did rather than run to the Lord. And the hiding I'm talking about is the purposeful seeking of him, as Zephaniah tells us, to run to the Lord for his protection, wisdom, his grace, forgiveness. And I want to give you a couple steps that I think will help in hiding ourselves in the Lord. Number one, that we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. One of the key things that he does is he gives us a new identity. And you know, in the witness protection program, they give you a new name, new driver's license, new passport, they give you everything. Well, Jesus gives us a new birth. He gives us a new identity that we're hidden in him and our sins are forgiven. And we're not exposed to the enemy and to future judgment. We're hidden in him. We are hidden in him. Second, I think we need to learn to get alone with the Lord, to hide ourselves alone with the Lord. Jesus in Matthew 6:6 talks about this. He says, go into your closet and there to pray, to meet with him. I think every one of us needs to have a hidden place of devotion. And if you've seen the movie The War Room, where the closet was turned into a prayer room, that type of idea, every one of us needs to have that private place where we go and meet with the Lord. Prayer, reading, meditation, go into the closet. Jeremiah 29:13, I will be found of you when you seek for me with all your heart. We need to find that place in the Lord. Amen? In number three, we need to be involved in church life. We need to be involved with our spiritual family. I appreciate my natural family, but I appreciate my spiritual family. We need both because they are a protection, a source of counsel, a source of accountability. They are a wealth of information. I am not perfect. I have nothing to say that I know everything. I share in my church family, and I receive from them the encouragement and the strength. And the Bible says, especially meet with them the closer you see the end coming in Hebrews 13. Number four, don't worry. Don't let anxiety or fear overwhelm your life. Have more faith. When we're fearful, keep quiet about your fears. You'd say, well, what if I die? There's Christians that die. Well, Jesus has a special hiding place. Revelation 6:9 says that there under the altar are the souls of those waiting until the final day. And he says, be patient, wait a little while longer until my coming, and then I'll come. There are souls under the altar. Heaven is a final hiding place from all tears, from all pain, from all things of this earth. And if we are killed before the Lord comes, then Paul said to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. There is a special place that he keeps ready for us to go and meet with him. But don't worry. Don't let anxiety or fear come and grip your heart. Change your perspective. Number five, use your mouth to praise and honor the Lord. In chapter 3, verse 9, he says, I'll give you a pure language. A few verses later, he talks about using our mouth to proclaim the goodness and the praise to the Lord. Faith is what we want, and praise is the language of faith. When I can praise the Lord and thank him in all things before the answer comes, I'm speaking faith. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in my life. Use your mouth. Your mouth is a great tool and a weapon. With God's mouth, he created the world. With your mouth, you can create an atmosphere of faith by using the word of God. And then number six, let's go to Colossians 3:3, and we'll finalize thoughts there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Talking about hiding ourselves in the Lord. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Then you are raised with Christ. As a Christian, I love where Christ is with Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. But I'm supposed to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died in my new birth, and your life is what? Hidden with Christ. Here is the New Testament application of Zephaniah. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, his second coming, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, what's the therefore? It's to tell us how our lives are hidden in Christ. Put to death your members that are on the earth, fornication. I think people ought to get married before they live together. I do. I'm not old-fashioned. I'm biblical. Avoid immorality. Avoid this and that. Avoid uncleanness, wrong passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. We saw that. Because of these things, the wrath of God, the day of the Lord, the day of wrath, is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Don't be smug. We all were there, weren't we? Yes. All of sin fallen short. But now yourselves are to put off all these. Anger. Here he tells us, if you want to live in the presence of the Lord, here's the negative things and the positive things. And he's going to tell us, get rid of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to each other, since you've put off the old man with deeds and put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on. Let's be merciful to each other. Let's be kind and loving. With humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing, being careful with each other, with loving kindness, forgiveness. If anyone has a complaint to each other, even as Christ forgave you, you got a complaint against somebody today? You want to walk in the presence of the Lord? Learn to practice forgiveness. Learn to release people to the Lord. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called in one body. Let fear rule in your heart? No way. Let peace rule in your heart in every way. Let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Zephaniah told us to shout and to sing together, to worship. Sing with grace in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And finalize, just some illustrations. Do you know that when the 10 plagues came on Egypt, which is a type of God's judgment against that administration, only 3 plagues affected Goshen. 7 plagues did not. God hid his people from 7 last plagues. Yeah, we participate in some of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But I believe that we can be hidden, protected from many things going on in this world when we trust in the Lord. 7 plagues. Joshua was hidden in prison. Not a nice place to hide out, but he was hidden in prison until the opportune time when God called him. Moses was hidden in a basket for his protection. And God used that to bring him forth to be the leader of his nation. The spies were hidden under bales of flax when they came searching for him, then let out over the side of the wall. Elijah was hidden in a cave from those that were seeking his life until the Lord told him it's time to move out. David was hidden in the wilderness when he was already anointed and called to be king and Saul wouldn't move over. David went to the wilderness and God hid him there in caves and out in the wilderness. And this is a word for somebody here in the church. There, you might be like David, that God has told you some wonderful things going to happen in your life, but you feel like you're running in the wilderness. And my counsel is you, wait on the Lord. Be respectful to your Sauls above you, but wait for the timing of the Lord. God will take Saul out of the way when it's his time. You don't have to do it. Jesus himself was hidden at times. He gave his first sermon in his hometown, Nazareth, and they all grabbed him, pushed him to the cliff, and were ready to throw him down. And it says he walked through their midst and just left. They couldn't kill Jesus until it was his time. He just many times walked away. He was hidden in that way. Paul was hidden in a basket, but down facing a wall. He was kept safe. Go on to the next city, preach some more. Whatever you're facing today, it's the presence of the Lord. The nation we need. Whatever you're facing in our nation, your family, Whatever we're facing in this nation, we need a revival. We need a turning to the Lord in our nation. And my prayer is we'll have one great last one before the final days of judgment. But until then, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to seek the Lord. We're supposed to live in His presence. We're supposed to get ready. We're supposed to let go of the old man and live in the new man every day. Every day. Because that's being hidden by the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the clarity that You bring to us. Lord, I just pray that there would be a release of Your presence today and a drawing of Your Holy Spirit for every heart, Lord, here that has been gripped by fear, anxiety, wonderment. Lord, I pray instead that You'd feed faith into us by the word of God and that we would trust You because You are on the throne and You will accomplish Your will and work, and we want to be in partnership with You in Jesus' name.